We have two short scripture readings this morning, both on the subject of prayer. The first reading is from Genesis 15, the first four verses, and then we go to the book of Deuteronomy, where we'll read verses 23 to 26 of chapter 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. We go on to Deuteronomy 3 from verse 23. And I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you've only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such work and mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. So far the reading. The title of today's sermon is Take It to the Lord in Prayer. Before the COVID crisis, going on a cruise was a favorite way to take a holiday. Just ask Gary and Otto and Janneke and Wendy. For some reason, people really seem to enjoy bobbing up and down on a big ship. But if you're prone to seasickness, it's not such a great adventure. You may remember the story I told some years ago about a quite elderly lady who also went on a sea cruise. She was really looking forward to it, but she was quite seasick. One day she ventured outside to sit on the deck and fell fast asleep on her chair, sitting with her hands open. At that time, there was an evangelist who was going to deliver a sermon in the hall on answered prayer. And another passenger, one who wasn't sure that God even existed, decided to attend. And on his way to the hall, he picked up a couple of oranges in case he got hungry. But as he passed that elderly lady, he saw her open hands and he decided to put an orange in each hand. After the service, he passed her again and saw that she was happily eating one of the oranges. You seem to be enjoying that orange, he said, to which she responded, Yes, sir, my father is very good to me. Surely your father cannot be alive, he cried out. He didn't want to say, you're so old, but that's what he meant. But she said, Praise God, he's very much alive. What do you mean, he wondered aloud. This was her answer. I tell you, sir, I've been seasick for a few days now. I was asking God to somehow send me an orange. I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying. When I awoke, I found he'd not only sent me one, but two oranges. Friends, even in the smallest of things, the Lord does provide, sometimes even in very mysterious ways. Sometimes he does give us an orange or two. But speaking to God, praying to him, is our way of communicating with our gracious Heavenly Father. It's a precious privilege to be able to come before God and just chat with him. It's a cherished occasion to be able to tell him about our deepest needs, our concerns, our worries about life or friends or family. It's a priceless opportunity to bring others before God, to thank him for his grace and mercy and love and care, and for all the other blessings with which he so richly blesses each one of us. But we have to acknowledge that many, if not all of us, have struggled with prayer at some stage. It can be tough at times. Perhaps you are in that position or you have been in that position. Perhaps in a time of sadness you've felt lost for words. Perhaps you only come to God when you've exhausted all our other options. Perhaps when you're thinking about a family member who has wandered from God's path and you come before God in prayer, you just don't know what to say, what to pray. Maybe you've wondered why you should ask God for something, why you should pray to God, if he already knows what you're going to say or what you need. Or maybe you feel that God has not answered your prayers in the past, so why bother with prayer at all? In our passages today, we see that God does answer prayer with a resounding yes. We see that in the passage about Abram. But in the passage about Moses, we see that at times he also says no. And as we also see in the life of Abram, sometimes the answer is wait. It's these three sorts of answers that we're going to look at today. God sometimes says yes, God sometimes says no, and sometimes God says wait, or not now, my child. Now, over the past few weeks, I've spoken to a number of people in our congregation, and also family and friends, about prayer. As we look at how God answers our prayers, we're going to listen to some of their testimonies this morning. Let's start, though, by looking first at how God sometimes chooses to answer our prayers with a yes. After Abram had been blessed by Melchizedek and had acknowledged God before the king of Sodom, the Lord appeared to him in a vision, telling Abram that his reward would be very great. And Abram responded with a query, really a prayer, to the Lord about an heir. He was asking for a son who would be his heir, and the Lord responded with a comforting answer that Abram would indeed have his very own son. He answered yes to Abram's desire for a son. How many of us have turned to God in prayer and have had our answers in the way that we wanted those prayers to be answered? How many of us have had our prayers answered in the way that we hoped they would be answered? That happens very often, doesn't it? I can bear this out in how the Lord answered prayer just about a week ago for me. When the computer program I used to store the church's documents could no longer access those documents. You know, when you store something important on the internet, it's best to encrypt the data, which is what I did because I didn't want anyone who somehow managed to get hold of that data to be able to open those files. And that's been working fine for a number of years. But when something goes wrong, it really goes wrong, because even the company where the data is stored cannot retrieve it. Even the backups are useless in such a case. So when this happened, all I could do was turn to the Lord in prayer. And when I got back to the computer, the files weren't magically there, but an idea just happened to pop into my head. It just happened to pop into my head, which allowed me to recover every single thing. In my distress, nothing would work. But in response to my prayer, the Lord opened up that part of my mind that allowed me to fix that problem. Now, even this little example shows the effectiveness of prayer. When I asked Ralph and Yetcha about prayer a few weeks ago, they also attested to its effectiveness, especially on the occasions of the death of their two children. The Lord mightily answered the prayers of their church family to enfold them in his comfort and with his grace. And Marilyn has also told of how the Lord answered her prayer almost 20 years ago. On her way to a church camp, she had to pick up another lady, and when arriving at this lady's house, she needed the toilet, and the lady's husband showed her where it was, remarking that the sliding door was stuffed. When she wanted to open the door to exit, the door got stuck. As she poked her head out of the door to see if she could see what was wrong, that solid door runner came crashing down onto her head, causing excruciating pain. She says she remembers thinking, "Not only is the door stuffed, sweetheart, but you are too." Feeling the life draining from her, she prayed the words of Psalm 34, saying, "God, your word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from all of them." All of them, God, and I certainly need deliverance right now. Now, gracious Lord answered that prayer. The pain went numb. She was even able to attend that camp. But when she visited her chiropractor a bit later, he was dumbfounded that so much bone displacement had occurred without her neck being broken. Then she went back and read Psalm 34 again later that day, and verse 20 leapt off the page for her. He, that is the Lord, keeps all their bones, not one of them is broken. How can we explain that? How can we explain that except by saying that the Lord answers prayer? Now, friends, this doesn't always mean that God always rubber stamps our prayers in this way. He doesn't always answer us in the way we want him to answer us. He doesn't always say yes to our prayers, and that is a good thing, because what we want is not always the best thing for us. We might think it is, but it most often isn't. And what we want does not always bring glory to God. But just as the Lord answered the prayer of Abram, just as he answered my prayer and Marilyn's prayer and the prayers of those who prayed for Ralph and Yetcha, so also he answers the prayers of all his children, if they are according to his will and his plan. So sometimes God chooses to answer our prayers with a yes. But as you no doubt know, sometimes God also answers with a no. In the second text we read this morning, Moses asked the Lord to allow him to enter the promised land. But as we heard, the Lord was quite emphatic when he says, "Enough from you. Do not speak to me about this matter again." And I think parents can really relate to those words, can't they? Enough from you. And friends, even though God does not speak to us directly in that way today, he still gives us an answer that is a no. And that can be difficult to accept. I mean, sometimes we come before the Lord with a deep desire for something, something which weighs heavily on our hearts, and we pray to him to remove that burden from our soul, and still he chooses to answer that prayer with a no. And at times that can appear to us as if he's not answering our prayers. Perhaps a close friend of yours was on his deathbed, and despite your prayers that he would accept the Lord as Savior, he remained steadfast in his rejection of Jesus. Maybe you have a family member who has a particularly sharp tongue, and you've prayed that the Lord would help her to put a guard in front of her mouth and not be so hurtful in her comments. But he's chosen not to do so. And that can make you feel sad. It can make you feel as if he's not really listening to your prayers, can't it? But we have to be in no doubt at all that God always listens to our prayers, and he always answers them, even if it's not in the way that we expect or that we may want him to answer. You see, the problem that we have is that we don't always know what is best for us or for others, but God does. And because he knows what is in our best interest, because he has a plan for his entire creation, he will make the right choice for each and every circumstance. And let me just share with you another testimony, this time from Audrey. Audrey says the following. When I was 11 years old in South Africa, I was an avid gymnast. I really wanted to qualify for the national team to travel to Australia for an international competition. I earnestly prayed that this would happen. However, the final qualifying day came, and I missed selection by one spot. Or as that movie goes, missed it by that much. I was sad and disappointed. God had answered, and his answer was no. Fast forward a few months when I would have been overseas at that international competition, in a foreign land and potentially without my family. Instead, I was at home with my family. And what happened at this time? Because of a severe allergic reaction, I went into anaphylactic shock. I had to be rushed to the doctor, who had to inject adrenaline straight into my heart. For some time, I lost the use of my legs. My parents had to carry me around. God knew before I did why I didn't make that team, why I needed to be at home with my family. He knew that my life would be in danger, and my parents would be there to save my life. What an amazing answer to prayer, she says. He knew that the answer of no was the right answer. Because folks, sometimes God answers no. And we might be disappointed. When a family member keeps rejecting Jesus, despite our prayers, we may think our prayers are not working. Perhaps a spouse does things that do not fit with the faith which he or she professes, and despite your prayers, that behavior does not change. And you may start to think that God is not listening. But beloved, our loving Father does not turn a deaf ear to our concerns. He doesn't have a hearing aid that isn't working or that's turned off. No, he always listens. And he always answers, even if that answer is no. This is where we really need to trust in him. And of course we can do that because he has proven beyond doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he will do what he knows is for our good. We only have to look at how he redeemed us. He redeemed us from everlasting death, brought us into everlasting life in Jesus. He will do what he will do. He will do it in his own time, in his own perfect time, and in the way which he chooses. And if we really trust him, we have to place our concerns, our needs, our deep desires into his hands and accept that in whichever way he answers, it always is the best answer. So we've seen that God sometimes answers with a yes and sometimes he says no. But he also sometimes chooses to say, wait, or not now, my child. As believing people, we understand and accept that our prayers are not always in accordance with the Lord's will. If we live our lives in trust in one true God, in the one true God, then we also know that we can entrust the outcome of our prayers to his wisdom. Mentally, we know that. Emotionally, we can accept that. Because after all, we know that he's not only all-powerful and can answer our prayers, but also all-wise to give the right answer at all times. But for many of us, the problem comes when an answer from the Lord seems to be a long time coming. In other words, we struggle with patience. We sort of say, I want it, Lord, and I want it now. Or, please, God, I'm willing to wait, but please hurry up. If I were to ask you to put up your hand if you've never struggled with patience, are you going to be putting your hand up? Don't think so. Friend, we all struggle with waiting, perhaps especially when waiting on the Lord. God answered his friend Abram's desire for a son. He fulfilled that promise to Abram, but Abram first had to learn to wait on the Lord. Essentially, he had to wait until all hope of human conception was gone so that he could learn that it was only by God's intervention that his desire for a son of his own, could come true. And sometimes this happens with us too. Sometimes we do pray for the right things, but the Lord says, wait, it's not yet time. Sometimes we pray with the right motives, but in the Lord's bigger plan, it's not the right time for him to give that answer of yes that we might be so desperate for. Perhaps as a grandparent, you know that some of your grandchildren are walking on the wild side, and you've upheld them before the Lord in prayer for many years. But the Lord has not seen fit to intervene in their lives yet. That doesn't mean he won't do so. He may be using this time of prayer to teach you something. Perhaps you need to be drawn closer to him through more prayer. Or perhaps he plans to bring your grandchild to him at a later date. For some reason, we don't know. The bottom line is that God will do what is to his glory, and you can only keep on praying for your grandchild according to God's will, always according to God's will. When we stand at the coal face of life, when we stare at disappointments and struggles and personal trauma, we don't want to wait, do we? We want an answer. And very often we want that answer quick. But often we need to wait. And if we look at Psalm 37, we see what this waiting ought to look like for us as believers. Trust in the Lord, David says. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and be still before the Lord. That's what our waiting ought to look like. It has to do with leaving it up to God, to really trust Him and to entrust whatever the problem may be to Him. And it's more than that too, for we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, committing ourselves to Him, stilling our hearts before Him while we wait. And I pray that this is how we will wait on the Lord. I pray that this is how we act when we wait for Him to work in the heart of a dearly beloved. I pray that when we wait for the Lord to work in our own hearts and so draw us closer to Him, we continue to delight ourselves in Him. For we know that we have a Saviour who will never forsake us and that He will welcome us into His presence where there is fullness of joy. We know that. And we know we can trust in His intercession. And if we know that in Jesus we've been assured of eternal life, surely we have to keep committing ourselves to Him, especially in the times of trouble, especially in the times of waiting on the Lord. And if we do that, beloved, we can also still our hearts in grateful acknowledgement that it is all in His hands. And we can say with Joab, may the Lord do what seems right and good to Him. In 1971, Carol King sang, when you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, you just call out my name and I'll be there. You've got a friend. But beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we've got so much more than a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. We know He's always there. We know that even now He intercedes for us with the Father. And God's word invites us to take everything to Him in prayer. We know that even if the sky above us grows dark and is filled with clouds, even if nothing seems to be going right in our lives, we can call out to God in prayer in the name of Jesus. And just as we have that fullest confidence that Jesus overcame death on the cross at Calvary and that He is risen and that He is coming again, so we can have the fullest confidence that the Lord hears our prayers and that He answers our prayers, whether that is with a yes or a no or a wait. And we can also have the fullest confidence that whatever that answer is, it will always, always be the right answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You invite us to come to You in prayer, and we thank You for that precious gift. Sometimes, Lord, we might find it difficult to do so, and for those times we pray for Your guidance and for the Holy Spirit to encourage and guide us. At other times we may pray with the wrong motives, Father, and if we do so, we pray for Your forgiveness. When You do answer our prayers with a yes, Lord, we pray that our hearts will respond with joy and thankfulness. When You answer us in a way that doesn't fit with our wishes, Lord, we pray for humble and also grateful acceptance of Your will. And Lord, when we find it difficult to wait on an answer, we pray that You will give us patience to wait on You with a strong desire to please You and to commit ourselves to You and to still our hearts before You with a complete trust in Your goodness and Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.